if it were a play or whatever, like Toby is a very specific character with like a very specific mindset and a very specific like method of like thinking and all this other stuff. And there isn't one moment of that movie where you don't believe that Elvis is Toby. Like
Okay,
he
I
plays
hear
the
you.
character Toby so well. He is stupid, he is dumb, he is cute, he is like
I agree with you.
he's lovable, and he plays that character
Yeah.
fully truthfully.
I think the archetypes that they put Elvis in, this is really interesting.
Yes.
Doodle went to town or riding on a
On a
pony.
pony.
Amazing.
Period.
Oh my God. If you just die on this call right now and I record
Like finally back with the podcast. We say that every single time, and then it'll be 7 months and we'll have another one out. Like, girl.
Yeah, we don't do these often because I just don't have the energy every time to become a tech wizard every time.
No. Literally every single night. And we started off the last one talking about this too, but girl, it for real, like, no.
It takes it out of me, and I like somehow forget, and we both forget how to do it every single time. And we're like, wait.
We're like, we didn't FaceTime on the phone. We FaceTimed on the iPad and the laptop and then killed the girl. What do you mean?
Literally, we have to like sacrifice a lamb every fucking time.
That is so funny.
Okay, but I am in an Elvis mood.
Me too, girl.
I
And the
mean,
next step is love.
and
Nah.
the next step is sex.
Him getting so lit over his own jokes. Can we talk about
Literally every time, always laughing at himself. Comedian.
True. He laughs harder at himself than anybody laughs at. You know what I mean? Except for Charlie. Charlie is always freaking out here going, rawr, rawr, like it.
He
Oh, cut that
he's always
out.
got his back, honestly. Like, if you don't have the friend that's laughing at your trash jokes that he tells every single
Yeah.
show, what's the point?
Yeah.
That's one thing about Elvis. He will tell the same jokes every 5 seconds, every night, every.
Oh, if you've ever listened to like the freaking live si the 69 like international album, every single show he tells the same joke to every audience and they all laugh.
And the band laughs, and it's like, hold on, sweetheart.
Yeah, my mom will always say like imagine like having to laugh at the same jokes every night because it's Elvis, and like if you don't laugh, you'll be like, did you not think it was funny? Like, girl.
I don't think he'd care, but honestly, if you ever see Elvis interact, like even in On Tour, and that's the way it is, he will tell a
Yeah.
joke and then look around to see who's laughing. So maybe that's true. Like maybe he took it to
That's
heart and
what
stuff.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like you just like, girl, we all know his personality. Like, what if he like turned around and punched you? No, he would never do that. But
He's
like
not violent like that. I don't think he's
No,
physically violent for no reason.
he definitely would not do that. But like, you know how he would like get
Well,
upset over things? Like, if you didn't laugh at his joke, I feel like he would get upset, like a little bit.
he 100% had like mood swings and things like that because of
Yeah.
everything going on. So I see that happening. But that's such a human nature thing. Like if you tell a joke and everyone's laughing, you want to look around and see who's laughing at me. Like,
True,
you
he
know.
knows it's funny, and honestly, some of the stuff he does is funny, like, period.
I really think he is quite funny and has a really good sense of humor. I think a lot of big influential artists take themselves way too seriously, and it's so annoying to have to watch, especially if you don't particularly really like that artist. Like sometimes I'll
Right.
see an artist who I don't necessarily not respect, but I'm not like in their corner as a fan, and I see them interact with like fans or even like their own band, and they take it so seriously to a point where it's like, okay, like calm down. You're not like a brain scientist.
No, exactly. I keep thinking of like the what's it called Way Down in the Jungle Room album, where it's like all those outtakes from like 76 or whenever the album was released, and they're really, really funny. And so was like the Elvis and Nashville albums. Like those are really funny ones too. Yeah, I don't know. I like those albums for that reason, that he's just kind of like unhinged and like he goes wild.
Yeah, I feel like he's always having fun, and people are just now discovering that about him. Like, obviously, with the film coming out and
Right.
him becoming more popular with youth and like social media and stuff, and they like sort of see him as a real person now, kind of. And that sounds weird, but like I get it, because when the average person thinks of Elvis who isn't a fan of him, you're just going to think of either like the 1950s, you know, icon, or you're going to think of like the caricature like idea of him rather right. than like him being a real person. So when everyone saw him like deep throating the microphone,
and, yes,
like,
I was just about to say that,
and people were like shocked, but it's like, okay, he's just a normal guy at the end of the day.
Well, I remember people like posting Austin Butler doing it in the movie, because obviously he did. And yeah. then they were like, they found the clip of Elvis doing it, and they were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Elvis actually did this. Or like, I can't believe Elvis did this like exact same right. thing Austin Butler did. I'm like, no girl, Elvis did it first, and Austin That's Butler the thing. Then.
People being like, I can't believe Elvis did what Austin Butler did. It's like, baby, Austin Butler is playing Elvis.
No, yeah, it's so real. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like, them discovering everything is so fun. I love
it. Literally. And I think it really, being a fan of Elvis in that deep level already helps you really appreciate the film even more. Mm-hmm. Like, someone said to me, like, oh, you're a fan, so obviously you're going to like the movie. But it's like, no, if you're a fan, like, you have more things to say about it, like, critically.
Girl, the way... I know this isn't a movie review, but as a fan, like, finding those little Easter eggs, like, those golden nuggets of, like, mm-hmm. the attention to detail that was included in this movie, like, the little things that only, like a diehard longtime fan would know, like, oh, that's that thing. Like, those are so fun, and, like, I think that that's why the movie was just never... a minute was never boring, like, because yes. there was always those things that you could pick out and be like, oh, my gosh, I remember when he literally did that in that suit that one time, like... It was so cool.
Yeah, I really liked it. And we did do a podcast episode reviewing the movie in detail. So hopefully that will be uploaded. I hope it doesn't get lost. I'm going to try yeah. and get it up. The audio might be a bit low quality, but I feel like everything we said was too good to lose. So it might just have to go up with an apology video as well. Like, sorry,
with everyone. An apology video. I'm sorry. I know I'm canceled, but girl.
I know you can hear my mom breathing in this, but I just like...
My dad burps in minute 25. I'm sorry.
Like, as if my dad sat next to me, like, writing notes like the whole time. He's like sat across from me.
That is so funny. Okay, sorry.
That is really funny. I don't know.
Period. Me neither.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I know why. I know.
I hate this.
No, we have been thinking about having a baby soon, so I just... I'm kidding.
True, girl. We're gonna name it Elvis after... Not Elvis. Not Elvis Costello. Presley. Elvis Costello. That's yeah. right. Yeah. Anyways, so... Girl!
So you wanted to talk about, like, TikTok and things like that.
Yeah, I think it was, like... Okay, so since we posted our last... episode, the movie came out, and so I feel like when the movie came out, we kind of like did a lot more on our TikTok page, kind of revamped it. We've been posting a little bit more, so because of the movie and because of us just posting more often, we've gotten like a lot more followers and then a lot more like interaction over there and stuff like that. And I've gotten like a couple, well, me and Maggie both have gotten a couple like comments asking if we're going to like continue doing this podcast, and obviously here we are. So I just wanted to like say hey to the people over there. They're totally different people than like over on Instagram and over on YouTube. Like, I'm not familiar with like the fan base over on TikTok, but they seem really nice, or at least the people that have been interacting with us. So I just wanted to say hey. Yeah. And that hopefully we'll continue doing these. And if you want to follow our Instagram handles, that's connected or like linked to the TikTok page as well. So
yeah. Hi to all the TikTokers out there in the stratosphere. TikTokers. I really like it. I really like making like silly content that isn't necessarily up to par with what I would post on Instagram, but like still yes. content we want to make. It's just like fun. It's more of an outlet, like creatively.
Absolutely. I just told you that tonight too, but like I feel like there's no rules anywhere. You can post whatever you want, but I definitely feel like Instagram for me at least is a little bit more structured, a little bit more like educational based. I do have mm-hmm. like a lot of fun over there too, but it's like TikTok, it's just a different breed. Like, it's a different crowd, a different audience. Yeah, so and like you can post like, I don't know, like
yeah,
get ready with me or something for Memphis, and like people will eat that up. So
yeah, I think it's really cool. Like, obviously on TikTok people get like the algorithm. Can I speak? No,
there it is.
with the algorithm, like, obviously it gets pushed to just people who, like, anyone could see it. It's not just, like, on Instagram, only people who see it are the people who look for it. Like, it's right. not necessarily going to be on the Explore page for the same amount of people, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Oh, and speaking of that, too, that's an amazing segue to just a quick little thing I wanted to talk about. People looking for things. So my favorite Elvis book is Destined to Die Young. I talk about this literally every day. I feel like a broken record, but Destined to Die Young by Sally Hodell. I just recently found out that the listing for it, pardon me if I'm not describing this correctly, but the listing for it on Amazon got hacked, and the author had to take, like, have the listing deleted. And with the listing being deleted, all of her stars, like, 5-star reviews, like, got taken down too. So that's, like, I guess a big way on Amazon for, like, people to find a product if it has a lot of reviews and a lot of stars and things like that. And obviously this book, I promote it a lot. I do believe that, like, it should be read by everyone, and, like, people who maybe are not even Elvis fans, but, like, are interested in his music or who he was or anything, like, it should be read by everybody, and it's an important book. So the book, I believe, now is relisted. It just doesn't have those reviews and stars and everything. So if you get a free minute, I'm sure it would not take that long, and you've read the book and you enjoy it, go ahead over to Amazon and give it, like, a couple star reviews if you liked it, and, you know, write a, like, little nice comment about it. No pressure to do so, obviously, but if you did enjoy it and you think other people would benefit by reading it, then mm-hmm. that would help out the author and also help, you know, that really important part of Elvis history to be understood by more people. So
yeah. And the author's doing another book, right? Like, or is it out?
It's out. Oh my gosh. So it was released, I think, a little bit before Elvis Week or at Elvis Week. I'm not sure. Elvis Week happened since the last time we've done this, by the way.
Yeah. So maybe you want to recap that.
I would freaking love to. But the book, before we switch,
right.
is called Destined to Fly. And it is the story of Ron Strauss, Elvis's pilot of Lisa Marie, and how he kind of got involved. Yeah, it is a good book. It's definitely a lot shorter than Destined to Die Young and more of, like, an easy read. And it's just about, like, his life before he met Elvis, and then obviously his life with Elvis, and all that stuff. And I got to go to the kind of toasting party that they had for it in Memphis during Elvis Week, and we all, like, toasted champagne to the book and to Aww. Ron. He was there as well, and it was, like, a really cool experience. So if you like Sally's first book, then definitely look for a second one too. Destined to Fly.
If she doesn't call the next one, like, Destined to Lie or something, like, she loves rhyming.
No, I think, like, all of her books should follow the Destined to, and then, yeah.
What would yours be if you were a Sally book?
Destined to literally spend every waking minute thinking of Elvis and nothing else.
Mine would be Destined to Cry.
Destined to Cry over Elvis. Because
I'm always crying.
No, literally. Destined to Live, Laugh, Love.
I did, like, cry, yes. because you sent me some TikToks and they were so unnecessarily sad about Elvis. They were literally, like, his voice in Loving You saying to his female manager, like, you don't care about me, all you care about is yourself. And I sent it to everyone I know and I was like, you guys don't understand me. It felt so emo.
It was so real. There was that one which really got me. And then there was one where, I don't know if you would find this emo, but it was, like, just the right amount of cheesy where it made me, like, ugh. But it was, like, it was not his voice, but it was, like, an audio saying, like, oh, I'm just not going to be here for that long. And it was, like, yeah, it was, like, him young and then old, obviously. Not old, but, like, towards the end of his life. And, like, that got me really good, too. But, yeah. There's a lot of good TikToks these days, thanks to the movie. Like, there's so many good ones.
Thank you to Baz.
Thank you, Baz, for this award. Like, I love you.
Literally, I love that. But even my brother the other day was like, did you see that clip of Austin Butler, like, talking to his fan? And I was like, yes.
So good.
So it's definitely so popularized the whole situation. I got my DVD a couple months ago. My dad's watched it, like, 4 times already. I asked for the soundtrack for Christmas. I was like, I want the CD for the car.
Yes, I really want the album, like, the vinyl. But I'm also really waiting for the Score album that Baz promised.
He did promise. He's holding out for a hero. Yeah. Honestly, where is it? if he doesn't release it at least digitally, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I think I'm gonna like
literally
plan something. What?
Girl, you need to be taken down and canceled for that. But also, the soundtrack is so nostalgic for me now, which mm-hmm. it sounds weird to say because it was only a couple months ago, but like that time was so lit, and that's the only album that I listened to for like all of the summer because the Elvis movie was so hyped for everybody, and like it was just so exciting to be like, oh, I'm gonna go see the movie for the 9th time today. Like, I miss it.
It was so fun. Like that, like when it came out, the buzz and everything of, I just love going to the cinema. If you know me, you know I like going to the cinema. So I was there every week for like the month it came out, going to see it. I think you went to see it a record amount of times, but I think I went to see it 6-7 times.
Close. I went to see it 9. So we're okay.
We almost the same. I feel like in the soundtrack, okay, let's leave the film. If you just listen to the soundtrack on its own,
yeah,
it's a masterpiece. I really hope, I don't know how like awards work for like soundtracks, whether it counts as an original score or not. I don't know, because it's like using old music. I don't know. Girl. But I want it to win something. Yeah, so I feel like in the soundtrack, also it's a masterpiece, and you said it was nominated for an award, which is really cool. I feel like there's something in it for everybody. Like me and my mom sat down and listened to it with obviously my brother and my dad, and like my mom loved like The Hound Dog, and my dad loved like the new one with, what's the guy? I'm really not explaining it right, but everyone loves something out of it. And everyone got something out of it. And I thought it was really cool how they've made new Elvis music, essentially. Like, they've made him sound so different.
With those remixes, like, those, like, Crawfever and, like, there was Summer Kiss with Your Tears mixed with Feel It In My... I don't know if that's right. Summer Kiss... That one. Anyways, but also, like, the Doja Cat one, like, everyone ate that up. Like, I know that that's going to win an award for sure.
Oh, like, Song of the Summer, honestly, for me, I really liked it. Yeah. I think it was Jack White did...
Yeah, Jack White did Power of My Love.
That is my favorite one on the whole thing, which really? it wouldn't have been if you just watched the movie, because it's in it for, like, I think, like, 3 seconds. Right. But listening to it, the way they've done, like, a duet... with every other line being Elvis and then the other. Like, it's so beautiful. And it doesn't sound, like, choppy. Like, there's something with... Obviously, I mean, they have the best, like, digital people who can, like, make it sound amazing. But it sounds so good. I remember when they did the Philharmonic a few years ago albums. And they were so cool. And it felt like, oh, my God, technology's amazing. Like, they've made, like, Elvis, like, revamped. And now it's, like, on another level of, like... They've made new genres... that Elvis could have never explored because of when he died. So it's like, it's so cool. Elvis can now be like a disco song, a R&B, a house music, you know, club music. Like, girl, they could play that in a club and I'd be bumping. Like, and it's Elvis? Like, that's wild.
No, you're so right with that. Like, there is something, he like modernized it enough where it was like, not like ripping away the artistry that Elvis put into it, but it was like adding in a little bit of modern twist that our generation would love. And it's funny that you said about the Philharmonic, because one of my favorite tracks from it is the Coming Home track.
Oh my God, yes.
And it's so good because it does give off to me that vibe of the Philharmonic like orchestra, and also Unchained Melody, like both of them, or like the music, the instrumentals of them are so stunning, and they just added it to the song that already existed, and I'm like, this is giving Philharmonic.
And that's why I'm begging for the score album, because I want the Let It All Hang Out. I mean, they did release that in the album, but it wasn't the one in the film, because the one in the film had Elvis in the background going, I've been so lonely, baby. And it was so cool. I was like, it was done with so much thought and effort that it didn't cheapen anything to do with Elvis or like make him out. Because I know that someone tried recently to do Elvis remixes that they actually released. I don't know.
Girl, you know what I'm talking about. It was literally like Peloton.
They were horrible.
Oh my gosh. If you guys have not listened to the Clean Up Your Own Backyard Peloton freaking Elvis, it is horrific. It's so bad. It is so bad.
honestly, I feel like the thought wasn't there for Elvis. The thought is there to, like, oh, because Elvis is coming back a little, let's do something, like, blah, 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 mm-hmm. that they just thought, let's hop on this. And they didn't have any thought for, like, actually, what would Elvis sound like today? Who would collaborate on Elvis? Like, what should it, like, accomplish, and what songs they should choose. Like, they chose really random songs that I don't think were eclectic. I don't think the remixes represented what the songs were doing. Like, you know, If I Can Dream, they did obviously in the movie the cover that was really beautiful, and mm-hmm. it added something and changed, you know what I mean? Like, it Girl. Did something, interpreted the song in a modern way, which the other thing failed to do.
You're right. And I have a perfect example of what you're literally talking about is the during the movie when they're talking about how the world is it my fault that the world changed? And then freaking The Edge of Reality. But it's like, gotta keep your head together, or gotta keep it see yes. what's going on. But it's like the 60s, 70s, like psychedelic kind of vibe, which literally matches the scene from Live a Little, Love a Little of the song, but also matches the 60s hip. Those hippies were changing Elvis in mm-hmm. the movie, and it was perfect.
The what? I have always loved that song, and you know that we have always loved that song and wrote for that song. That's my favorite Elvis movie that he ever did. Yeah. So to see that in the film was not only like the way it was used. I remember I got goosebumps. I literally looked at my friend and went, like, yeah. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, the fact that that song got a moment was so cool. And like, they used really underrated songs as well as like fan favorites, which I thought was cool. And the use of Suspicious Minds was really cool. Like the subliminal of people in a trap, all of that.
Yes.
Don't Fly Away.
That oh, that one was really good. That one was really good.
And I just love all the little extras, like you were saying, like they add things underneath, behind Elvis. Oh, beautiful.
Soundtrack. So good. Do you know what's so amazing about that conversation we just had is that it's segueing perfectly into what we literally wanted to talk about. And I don't know if you did that on purpose or not, but
it's a happy coincidence because honestly, let's discuss soundtracks.
We've wanted to talk about the movie soundtracks for a while now because we've got some opinions. And honestly, I'm mm-hmm. going to be like thinking of these on the spot. I know I have opinions on everything, but I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't come prepared with a list or anything, so I feel like this should be interesting. So, I recently just made a couple of posts on Instagram coming from this one book that we're about to talk about because it is so good. Like, it has so much in it. It's packed. But if you haven't read it or don't have it, it's called Elvis World. Maggie, I don't know if you have it handy. I don't know who it's by, but if you Googled Elvis World, I think you could find it.
It is by, who is it by? It's by Michael and Jane Stern,
period.
I guess are married or siblings. They're probably married, huh?
Yeah, it's just so good. It's also just beautifully written. Like, a lot of the excerpts in there are really, really yeah. beautifully written. And then it has a lot of, like, really fun stuff in it. Like, what yes. Elvis liked to keep in his pantry or, like, memorabilia stuff. Like, what I just posted was a bunch of like stories about the William Spear photo shoot from the 50s and mm-hmm. like all this stuff and memorabilia that had to do with that, and it's just like a 10 out of 10 read if you want to get it.
I really think it's a must have because it's got not only beautiful pictures and, like Mary said, really good chunks of like information throughout his whole career. Like, I've mm-hmm. definitely done posts about it with the 1950s like fan experiences with concerts and like things like that, and it's really immersive and fun to read, and loads of tidbits that you might not know or might not even think that anyone would write about, but they're really cool.
Literally, it definitely immersive is the way to describe it. That's a good word.
Mm. So we're going to be using, in the back of the book, there's a list of all the movies and the soundtracks to each one, so it's really handy. Actually, it's really useful for today's episode, and we don't have to do it all the songs, but maybe just ones that spring to mind, and then just a reference list would be nice to have. So it's really useful for that.
Period. Are we going to go like through the movies and say which one has a good soundtrack? Or are we just bringing out the soundtracks we like?
I don't know. It's honestly up to you. Do you have anything in mind?
I have my movies right by me as well, so I could just look down. But if you want to start it off, I know that you might have one in mind.
Okay, so let's just say Live a Little, Love a Little for an example, because that's my favorite movie. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily say it's my favorite soundtrack, but I think it has some really good ones. Like, obviously, Edge of Reality, we just mentioned. But I really like the opening, Wonderful World, like when he's in the little, like, what would you call that car? It looks like a golf cart.
It looks like a golf cart slash Jeep slash, I don't
even know. Yeah, it's like a Jeep. It's like a beach car. He's in that, like, yellow thing. And he's going crazy, like, driving it. It's so funny.
Yeah.
But it's that beautiful song. He's like, heaven is found.
I think right here on the earth.
His voice sounds really good on it. Like, some of them, I will admit, we'll get to this, his voice doesn't sound great, like, because he's not enthusiastic about the song for whatever reason. Like, I just don't think, at least the movie songs don't showcase, like, actually really good vocals, but that song I think really does, and it's really different for Elvis and, like, those movies at the time. And I feel like also it's one of the only movies that doesn't have, like, a title called the song, like the there's no song called Live a Little Love a Little. A little less conversation is one of the songs on that, and that obviously became a number one after Elvis died with the remix. Hello remixes and
no power. For real,
that was one of the first, like, Elvis things they did after he died that I can remember, because it was sort of
same
in our lifetime. I mean, it might have been before I was born, but I remember it being huge when I was a kid.
Yes.
Wasn't it for, like, basketball? It was for a certain sport, because I remember it being either football or basketball.
I thought it was, like, for a commercial for something like that, yeah.
I think it was football, because in the video, there's loads of different people from different eras, like, dancing, but also, like, footballers, basketballers, but I can't remember. But it was just, like, an iconic moment in the culture, and I remember it being in a lot of films, like, the... It was just so cool. And the bit in the background of Elvis going, oh, was just, like, epic. Sorry. And that came from, obviously, Live a Little, Love a Little. Underrated.
Definitely underrated. Almost in Love. Edge of Reality. Your lips were made. Like, yes, girl. Also, I think it's, like, funny how both of our favorite movies do not have, like, a film soundtrack of their own. Like, Wild in the Country is mine, and it has some amazing songs. Like, In My Way is one of my favorite Elvis songs, to be honest. But, like, I don't know, I guess, like, there just wasn't enough to make, like, a full album.
Yeah, I think there's actually an Elvis vinyl I have called Almost in Love, and it's think all the songs from Live a Little, Love a Little, and a bunch more to, like, fill the space. But, like, you said, there's no actual album called Live a Little anything like that, which I think there's only literally, like, four or five songs in it, so that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know, but it also, there's not one for Viva Las Vegas either, and I feel like Viva Las Vegas has a lot of songs in it, and I don't know,
love all of the songs of Viva Las Vegas.
Girl, let me tell you something, Somebody to Lean On has been, like, my go-to Elvis song recently, and I cannot get over how, like, beautiful, girl, like, the jazzy moment, the soft, like, that song is so good.
I love that scene too, because doesn't he speak to camera almost, like, he's sort of, the camera's, like, above his head and he looks up,
almost breaking that fourth wall, because he's seeing, like, all these people in love around him, and he's like, girl.
I the last time I watched Viva Las Vegas was actually at my friend Connie's house, and it was so cool because they had never seen it. And they were, like, glued to it, and we really had a good time. So, like, I remember that scene being really, like, we were all like, whoa, Elvis is giving. Like, it was a moment in the watching experience.
Definitely. And also, not only does Elvis have songs in there, but Anne Margaret does as well. And so I feel like that was awesome. And they do a duet. Like, that's so cool.
That might be why they didn't do a soundtrack album, is because they would have had to pay her equal.
Right.
Like, I know in... It Happened at the World's Fair, the end song, Happy Ending, if you listen
to
that,
leave it out.
If you listen to that on Spotify, the woman is not in the song. Like, they do not want to pay her, like, the money.
That's how, girl, honestly, if, I'm sorry, like, we're jumping all over the place, but, like, if Paradise Hawaiian Style, the whole song, like, If You Scratch My Back, my whole life, I did not, until I watched that movie, I did not know that there was a woman who sang in that song, too, until, like, the movie scene came up, but there's a woman, but in, like, the, like, like, in the in the soundtrack, they always do that. They always cut out, like, the voice that is not Elvis's.
It's because they gotta make Elvis that number one.
No, and I understand that. And, like, honestly, get your business. But, you know.
I really don't like Paradise Hawaiian Style. I don't think any of the songs are that good.
They all suck. That's the worst movie he's ever done. Point blank, period.
Oh, that's a bold claim, but I actually really agree with you.
Girl, it's true, though. Like, if you think about it,
so the
other
songs,
ones...
Here's a list. Dating?
No. I used to love that song when I was little, though.
And there's a little girl on that, too, and she's like, what is she doing? She's living.
She's talking about dating. She's literally 9. Like, girl!
Dog's Life? I don't even remember that one. Oh, Drums of the Islands. Mm-mm. Forgettable.
A Dog's Life. It's a life. It's good enough for me. And literally in the movie, there's like a bunch of just dogs like
in a helicopter.
It's so bad.
So
the
bad.
Plot sucks. The plot literally sucks. It's so bad.
There's not one good one. I will say though, Queen of Wahine's Papaya kind of slaps, but it's not good.
It does, like, it is very catchy, you know?
But give scratch my back, stop where you are, this is my heaven, like, what? I don't think I could tell you, like, the chorus of any of those. Stop Where You Are, maybe. That rings a bell.
This Is My Heaven is a good one, I feel like. But, like,
is
outside
that even
of the
in
movie,
the film?
I'm gonna sneeze. RIP headphone users, sorry about that.
But yeah, also, how many fucking movies do you need to do in Hawaii? 6? There's like 2.
Literally, I remember talking to John about that movie and like just how much I hate it. And he's like, the only good thing about it is the scenery because it is like beautiful.
I agree. I feel like they tried to recreate Blue Hawaii. And did you know the tagline for Paradise Hawaiian Style is, do you remember Blue Hawaii?
Oh my gosh.
That's
no,
the
girl.
Tagline.
Because this looks nothing like you.
Remember Blue Hawaii is literally the tagline, which, why are you making fun of both of the movies by saying that? Like, you're telling people it's a ripoff of the, of, like, what are you talking about?
Blue Hawaii is one of his best movies, period. Like, it's like a good time, feel good movie, but it isn't cheesy. And I feel like that could be said for G.I. Blues, too. Like, I don't think it is. I think the acting from all of the actors is really great. Honestly, like, okay. It's funny, and the plot makes a lot of sense, and it, like, it's a good entertaining movie without being, like, slapstick.
Yeah, I think it's, like, a romp and, like, you know, mm-hmm. a rom-com type, like, style movie of the mm-hmm. time. And honestly, but I think it is the beginning of the end for Elvis movies. Like, it really sets the precedent for what they were trying to recreate after that. Because the success
Absolutely.
Of it was huge. Like, Absolutely. I think, what was his biggest movie was Love Me Tender, for like, tell me if I'm wrong. Like, the biggest box office was the first one he ever did.
I'll take your word for it. I'm not sure, but I could see it.
I believe that's true. And then the rest, sort of, they made money. Like, I'm not gonna, like, they never flopped, as in, like, they lost money, but
they never lost money, right?
They were never critically acclaimed, like, so they were counted as flops, in my opinion. But Blue and White is one of his biggest, like, soundtrack albums because of Can't Help Falling in Love, which is obviously that girl.
Mm-hmm. But also,
love, Ku Uipo, is that how you say it?
Ku Uipo, I love you.
I love that. And I love Aloha Oi. I love the Hawaiian ones. And I also love, because in Lilo and Stitch, if you've ever seen it, they sing that on the hammock, like they sing it together. And obviously that whole movie has a bunch of Elvis songs, but I like that they sort of took that Hawaiian connection.
Yeah.
And like made it their own in that movie. Just a little Easter egg.
No, I do love Lilo and Stitch for that reason only. Not for that reason only, but girl. I was also just going to say, like, I think this is such a fun Elvis trivia moment. But I believe the only, like, Elvis movie nominated for a award of, like, magnitude, a Golden Globe, actually, was Girls, Girls, Girls.
It was Girls, Girls, Girls. I was going to say that.
What? Like, what do you mean?
It must have been a slow year for movies, because I don't know why they would ever. I mean, there's so many better Elvis movies than that didn't get anything. So it's like, wait a minute, a Golden Globe? Like, what are you doing?
Literally a Golden Globe for his acting. That girl, what do you mean? But it's like, that one isn't the worst one. But if there was any movie that was award worthy, like, are we talking like King Creole? Are we talking Wild in the Country? Are we talking, like, those movies are so acting heavy.
Yeah. And I think it's such a shame that he never even got, like, the accolade of being nominated for something at all, like, other than that, like, stuff.
Literally.
I do like the soundtrack in Girls, 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 though.
The soundtrack is lit in that one,
except some of them suck. Like, I don't like the shrimp song. I know you like it. I think it's
I do not like that song.
Oh, you mentioned it a couple times.
No, not the song of the shrimp. I like I like, girl, you're thinking Barefoot Ballad. Barefoot Ballad is my jam.
No. No, I know Barefoot Ballad. Like, obviously, we'll get to that.
When I was little, thanks to the Rolling Sea, I used to make my one friend sing, like, thanks to the Rolling, 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 thanks to the Rolling Sea, and I would be singing Elvis's part. But, girl, I'm a different person now. I've changed.
I love Earth Boy. I love Girls, 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 the title song. I love Girls, yeah. Girls, Girls, the end version, because he does it a bit more. There's, like a reprise at the end where he says, like, all the nationalities of different girls and stuff like that. I think it's cool. Yeah. Better than the one that's like actually the opening one. Return to Sender is in the soundtrack.
Classic.
Which is that's a number one, isn't it?
Return to Sender is like one of the most, I feel like, iconic Elvis songs.
That's like, if it's not a number one, it's a top 50. Like, it's a really big Elvis song.
Well, it's on the Golden Hits album, so.
It's a hit, okay.
Yeah.
I Don't Want to Be Tied. Isn't Mama in Girls, Girls, Girls?
Mama's so sweet, mama's so not. Yeah,
it's not listed on this list, so maybe
it's when he gives her a present and they have that big party for her, right? Yeah, yes. Yeah,
and then like his adopted mom. No,
yes, I think that's in that movie. He brings Laurel to the party.
I thought he had Chinese parents in that movie.
He did not. Those What's are his the friends. Movie
where his, I thought, but they call him their son.
I don't know, but that's where he. That's where they went, and then they got stuck on there. The island, and they got they got stuck on the island, and they slept there, and then they like went out onto the deck during the rain and like kissed, and it was cute.
Okay, I think those are his parents, and then the mama are like his grandparents, like adopted, of course.
I really don't know because the plot makes zero sense to me. So.
That's actually so true. Why is he a fisherman in a lot of them? Like, why is he always doing something on a boat? They love putting him on boats.
He's hot and sexy doing it. Have you seen him in Girls, Girls, Girls? He looks incredible. Yeah, he looks so good.
He's always on like a train, plane, automobile. Like, he's always got like a vehicle that he's doing. Like,
oh, I cannot. Maybe unpopular opinion. I don't think it is, but I don't hate them, but I'm just so bored whenever they make him, like, a race car driver. I'm like, oh, I can't watch this.
I swear, they always make him something to do with a vehicle. Like, Clambank, he's a boat racer. Viva Las Vegas, he's a car racer.
Yes.
Isn't Speedway, obviously, cars. Roustabout, he's on a motorbike. Like, he's always got a vehicle of some sort that he's doing. Also, always. What's it called? Kid Galahad, he's doing up a car in that one too.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's always like a professional something. Like, Easy Come Easy Go, like, why is he a scuba diver?
I hate Easy Come Easy Go, and I will never ever like listen to reason, because no,
I think why? There are worse ones. I really do.
5% of Easy Come Easy Go is literally, no, 10%, 15%, 20% of that movie is some weird stunt double underwater looking at dirt. Like, it's so annoying. Like,
no, the 45-minute scene of the stunt double, like, touching the rock underneath the water, like, girl.
Like, it's such a waste of my life. Like, what?
Of my life? No. No, I like the parts where it's like, it is like kind of a sign of the times where the girls like, this is like a happening or whatever. And then like, there's all those artists and stuff like that. I like that. But like the whole thing where he's like, I need the treasure. Like, girl, that's it's annoying.
Yeah, there's a surreal moment. It's very like, okay, we get it. I hate Yoga Is As Yoga Does. I mean, I can laugh at it, but when I think deeply about it, it really upsets me.
It really upsets me too. I think it's one of the most embarrassing things that he's ever made to do. That, mm-hmm. Old MacDonald, and then honestly, Dog's Life from Paradise Hawaiian Style. I think those are the top three for me.
Yeah. If ever he's singing to an animal, about an animal, or is enacting an animal, it's just not for me. Like, thank you. Next.
An animal.
He's literally like being a freak. I mean, he looks amazing. That turtleneck, yummy, yummy in my tummy, like, hi. But he doesn't even sound.
Why would he?
Good. That's what I mean. Like, I don't blame him, but like, girl, literally. Why put this in a movie? Like, he sounds bad. Like, I know you like the Kissing Cousins soundtrack, and I'm gonna do an unpopular opinion right now. But it's a popular opinion, because yours is the unpopular one, sis. But the song where he's, is it like, Won't you teach me how to kiss?
Oh, that is one of my favorites. Do not.
But I don't dislike it, but I dislike the part in it where he says, give.
Give me all you got to give. But I love it.
His voice sounds bad. Like, he doesn't sound good on it.
See, that's where we're gonna have to disagree. But also for Kissing Cousins, Tender Feeling is
I love that right one. Up there I for me. Love that one. Guilty pleasure.
Tender Feeling is a beautiful song. Also, I met Cynthia Pepper from Kissing Cousins this past Elvis week, and she was a really nice woman. She was really, really nice.
Who is she in the movie?
The nurse that he's like trying to like get with in the woods.
But when he's low-key chasing her, yeah, and then they fall over and like start doing it.
And he's like, I can't conceal this tender feel. I'm like, oh, girl.
Pretty iconic if you ask me. Like, doesn't he trip on a branch or something and his whole family's watching, and then she's like, oh my god, are you okay? And he like pulls her down and starts kissing her. It's so
good. Yeah, it's so good. Also, the best part of that movie is when the dad is hanging on by the stem of the tree and he goes, Josh.
Oh my god. Me and my friend Katie watched that in college. Like, when we used to, like, every Monday or whatever, we'd take in an Elvis film and watch it. That we were busting laughing. It was so funny.
So Josh. Funny.
I'm gonna die, Josh. Like, I'm gonna die.
That guy who plays that character, he also played in Follow That Dream, and he's honestly really funny. He's a good comedian actor.
He is funny. Follow That Dream, honestly underrated, but also I forget about it.
Also, okay. I want to talk about this for a second, because I feel like Follow That Dream, a lot of people don't think this way, but I think that that's one of the best examples of like his acting capability, because the character he played was so listen.
I'm hearing no, I just made a face, but I'm hearing her out.
No, she is. And like, the thing is that, okay, so if it were a play or whatever, like, Toby is a very specific character with like a very specific mindset and a very specific like method of like thinking and all this other stuff, and there isn't one moment of that movie where you don't believe that Elvis is Toby. Like, okay, he plays the character Toby so well. He is stupid. He is dumb. He is cute. He is like,
I agree with you.
He's lovable, and he plays that character fully, truthfully.
I think the archetypes that they put Elvis in, this is really interesting, is obviously the rebel. Okay, mm-hmm. So they made him a rebel in, honestly, the first movie, Love Me Tender. He's a bit of a rebel in that towards the end. Spoiler, it's at the 100 years old. I'm like, right.
Spoiler alert, this is made in 1809, but girl.
Like, he's not really a rebel in like a James Dean rebel, but he is a rebel in that, like, obviously he slaps the woman and things like that. Like, it's a dramatic role, can we say? Mm-hmm. Like, that's in my opinion, the only dramatic role he ever had was in that movie, but we could debate that.
Definitely debatable. I would say King Creole and
Wild in the Country. But King Creole, in my opinion, and Wild in the Country, in my opinion, are the second archetypes they did for him, which is the bad boy with a heart of gold rebel.
Oh, so it's like not just rebel. It's like you, yeah. Okay, I see. It's a different category.
Like, does that make sense? And then Jeff Has Rock sort of fits into that, but it's more of a musical too. Like, it's more romantic.
Girl, he's a jerk, and Jeff Has Rock, I hate him in that movie.
He sucks. We saw a picture the other day. There was a still of the fight scene where his jail mate years later punches him, and it was Elvis like getting tossed through the air. It's so funny.
So funny, but honestly, he deserved it, because what was he doing in that movie? He's such a jerk.
Honestly, the soundtrack for Jailhouse Rock is really good.
Soundtrack for Jailhouse Rock is really good. I feel like some of those songs are very overrated, like,
right.
I Wanna Be Free and stuff.
But I love Baby I Don't Care. Never speak to me. That song, I love Elvis songs about a girl who's different.
Period.
Like, you're so square, baby, I don't care. Because I am square. I am. So stupid.
True. But I do love that. That movie is
Young
stunning.
And Beautiful. Young and Beautiful.
That's honestly, it has some good. It has all the songs there I would not skip. Like, they're all good. It's just like some of them are like overplayed.
I really like the one that his cellmate sings.
Me too. Wait, remind me how it goes.
One more day.
More day. One more day.
He sings it really good. And I like this. I love the story. I think Jailhouse Rock, the story is really good. And they never were able to recreate that type of story again in that way. I like the jail part. I think it's cool. I love the choreography. That is the most iconic Elvis thing.
Because he literally pulled that out of his butt.
I know, the choreographer was like, well, how would you do it then? And he's like, well, I'll show you. And then they had all the backup dancers, and the prisoners. It's so cool. And when he comes down like, fireman's pole, you know it's getting juicy. What?
No, literally. Did you know that he swallowed one of his caps?
Yes, I've seen the photo of him, like, with the nurse, like, pointing on it. It's so cute.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because he never got to see it because I think Judy Tyler, obviously, who died.
Yeah,
he couldn't bring himself to watch it, which is so sad, really, because it's truly, I mean, it's one of his really good ones.
Yeah. I mean,
his acting is good.
Yes, he plays, and an example of, like, his really versatile acting skills, I feel like, because there's not 1 minute of that movie where I'm not like, girl, Vince is a jerk. Vince kind of sucks. Like, he plays that character so truthfully, mm-hmm. and I think that good acting is truthful acting, period. The moment that it's not truthful anymore, the moment that you don't believe it anymore, then I'm not going to believe it either. And you can definitely see those roles that he had where he didn't believe in them, and that made us not believe in them. And I don't blame him for that. I mean, it's hard to believe in somebody that's singing to, I don't know, a tree. Like, girl, I'm sick of you. But like,
I'm out here singing to turtles.
Literally, he knew it. Like, girl, it's just like, it's hard to believe in something that you don't believe in, period. And if you don't believe in it, then we're not going to either. But there are those parts and those roles that he had that he, like, committed fully. And also, sorry.
No, please do.
Also, when I was talking to Cynthia Pepper over Elvis Week, she was saying, like, Cousins isn't, like, one of those dramatic roles for him. Maybe one that, like, he wasn't as excited about. But, like, those stories of him, like, coming to rehearsal with everybody's lines memorized, the script in hand, ready to go. He would show up on days that, like, he didn't need to be there for filming. Did he do that even for a movie that he, like, maybe wouldn't have enjoyed as much? And she was like, oh, he was literally there all the time, even when he didn't need to be. He knew everybody's lines. He was asking me questions about my character, like, trying to connect our characters together. Like, he was fully invested in it, even though they didn't give him crap to work with. I'm like, that is, ugh.
I think that's so cool. And it's the mark of a natural actor. Like, even though, I mean, that movie is dog shit. I'm sorry. It's so
it really
bad.
Is.
Like, and half of them are. Like, so it's really hard. It must have been heartbreaking, honestly. That, like, if you deep it, it must have been heartbreaking, honestly, to actually know that you could be potentially really good at something and want to be so good at it, and you have no material. It's like an artist with no pen. Like, what are you meant to do?
Exactly. Well, the thing is that when we say that they're trash and they're garbage, like, we're looking at them from a lens of, like, me. I mean, we have both, like, experienced good cinematic moments in our life.
From an objective point of view.
Yes. And so we're comparing them to rich, deep, compelling, entertaining pieces of art. And so was Elvis. And that's the thing. Like, and you can make that argument. It was like, oh, they're entertaining. Oh, they're a fun time. And yes, like, to a certain audience, they could be. But to him, he didn't want to make those kind of movies. He wanted to be a serious, taken seriously as an actor, a serious actor, and those weren't the scripts he was given, and so that's why he didn't enjoy them, even though you might find them entertaining and the songs are cute and whatever. He didn't want to be doing that. He didn't want to be doing cute stuff.
And I think that example of a movie can be done well and was done well by Elvis, but only really, like, Viva Las Vegas, Blue Hawaii, G.I. Blues would be the prime examples of, like, those type of movies that were done really actually well, and that's why we have a higher opinion of them. Because if you look at, like, Double Trouble or, like, you know, the lesser ones, it's like they're just trying to reproduce something that... Mm-mm. Also, Fun in Acapulco gets a free pass, and I'm done.
Girl, is one of the most, like, forgettable Elvis movies.
You were going to say unforgivable.
Not unforgivable. It's not that bad. But, like, girl, I always forget that movie exists. He looks fire in it. But, like, nothing about that movie stands
out to me. Here's the redeeming quality. He says my name in it. So
Maggie.
Also, there's not one, but two songs about bulls and fighting bulls. So tell me why, actually. It's so, okay, let's do a love letter to Mexico. Let's do two songs about bullfighting, one song about margaritas, and then the rest are just fucking whatever, like, shit on me, tequila. Like, what are we doing?
He killed his brother.
He killed his brother.
Like, that was the whole plot. Like, he accidentally dropped his brother, and so now he's, like, afraid to cliff dive. Like, girl, what?
It just makes absolutely no sense. Oh, sorry, I literally jumped on my microphone and stomped on it so hard, but, like, it makes no sense. Like, what? Like,
threw your body against it. And no, also, literally.
Everyone, like, sort of turned against him, but then he jumped off the cliff, and it's suddenly like, we all love you again. Like, you broke the lifeguard's fucking hand, so he can't save anybody. So actually my nan drowned, actually, Elvis, so you killed her. Second of all, the other woman, just like, she who loves him, the brunette woman who's really beautiful, loves mm-hmm. him the whole movie, trying to steal him from Ursula Andress the whole movie, and yeah. then suddenly you killed your brother. Oh, that's fine, but he won't dive off a cliff, bitch, little bitch.
Girl, I will just never get over the moment of time where he cliff dived and then came back up and his hair was perfectly styled and dry.
And like the mariachi band is like, yeah!
Yeah. And he's like getting dressed on their shoulders.
It is so, like, girl, if that came out today, bye. But second
he'd be canceled. Why was he playing all different ethnicities in all these movies?
Why is he Native American? Why is he literally...
Well, he is Native American. His great-great-grandmother.
If you go back far enough, baby. If you go back far enough, no. I'm Native American. Like, slay.
His great-great-grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee Indian.
Okay, slay. And honestly, there's a picture. There's a great picture of him wearing the headdress. Like, mm-hmm. it's not on a set or anything. Of the Native American Guild or film association saying yeah. thank you for representing us in Flaming Star, which is cool, I guess. That's cool for the time, which wouldn't be done now. But you've got to remember, like, at the time, there weren't people putting Native American people into movies to play Native American people. So it had to be sort of done like that.
Yes.
Now, that's obviously not how we see it. Like, Laurence Olivier played Othello. Like, hello, that's not acceptable now. But you have to understand why it was done then. So, like, it's all about
Literally. And also, I feel like the Native American stuff doesn't bother me because I know that he, like, a big part of him was Native American. Like, I don't know if it was his great-great-grandma. Right. I think it was his great-great, but her name was, like, Mourning Dove, and there's pictures of her and, like, in his yeah. family tree. And I'm like, period. So he... That to me is fine, but it's like him playing, like,
but it's the
what was
stereotype.
He supposed to be in Harem Scarum? What was he supposed to be?
I think he
Egyptian?
Literally...
I don't know.
He's not Egyptian. He was English in Harem Scarum. He was American because they send him to Arabia.
For what? I hate Harem Scarum so bad.
At the start of Harem Scarum, he's an American movie star and they're watching his movie. That's why that he saves that woman from the tiger with those long ass sideburns and he's kissing her. That's that's Inception. Okay, that's a movie within a movie. He's a movie star. And then some like king of
I hate
place
this.
Invites him to go, and then it becomes like he walks into his own movie, essentially. I really don't understand what Harem Scarum's about, but he's got mascara on and Kiss Me. Like, honestly, a mirage.
No, girl, listen to me right now. So basically, I hate Harem Scarum with my whole life. I've only watched it once.
I know what you're gonna say.
But the soundtrack is one of the most banging ones
it's
out
really
there.
Good.
It's so good.
So Close Yet So Far is one of the Mm-mm-mm. best gems, forgotten, underrated Elvis songs in a movie. When he's looking out of the prison bars and he's like, waiting yes. for you, you best that believe is... I'm out here popping every bone in my body, baby. And Tambourine.
Bye. That one's so good. No, those are so good. But what's the one where he's like, live each day as if it were your last and love while you may.
What's that one? Kismet? No. Wait, let me find it. I have a list here. So
sands of time are running out. Like, what is
okay.
it?
Wait. Kismet, Mirage, My Desert Serenade.
No.
Shake That Tambourine, So Close It So Far, Go East, Young Man, and Golden Coins.
Golden Coins I bring to you. It might be Golden Coins.
And Hey Little Girl. I forgot about that one. Yikes.
Hey Little Girl, you sure look good. No, big yikes. Yikes.
Also, there's a little like footnote here about Harem Scarum. So it says, this is really interesting, actually. It says, Elvis eagerly made Harem Scarum because it fulfilled his boyhood fantasy of being Valentino.
You pulled that out of your butt. He never
I don't
said
think
that.
So. I think you didn't say that, baby. That's in the book.
No, I'm saying the author. I'm saying Elvis. Who? Elvis said that?
Elvis, 100%. That's like a... He's like a character actor, right? Or that's a character in like Latin film or foreign film. I'm sure Priscilla put that, and that's probably why they have put that in the book. But I remember reading Elvis and Me and Priscilla saying they were together during Harum Scarum, and he used to come home in the makeup and in partial costume, and she would live.
I hate this idea.
Do you remember? Like, and they would role play. Listen.
Okay, so since this is like a no filter podcast, I want to say that every single time Priscilla says something like, oh, he once told me that, I'm like, did he though? Because I just feel like, yeah. I feel like the one time that the one time that you said that he screamed at you for telling him that you like Jailhouse Rock or whatever song that you said you liked, because he said to stay out of his business about movies and the work that he does, I'm like, something just tells me that like he wouldn't come home and talk about his career to you.
No, he 100%. Well, she's on set of a lot of those movies in that era. She's on set of Stay Away Joe. She's on set of,
is she? Because wasn't he having affairs with everyone?
Baby, there's pictures of her on set of Charo. There's pictures of her on set of like maybe not Stay Away Joe, but definitely Charo. There's pictures of her on set. And
interesting.
Love a Little, Love a Little. So she was there, baby, when he was doing these the deeds. But
that's interesting to me.
She obviously at one point stopped, but there's pictures of her on set of Charo, which is so random. Charo, hello. No music, just Charo, which is a really good song, actually.
Charo.
I really like that song. I really like that song.
You've been halfway to hell and back again.
I think it's cool. And I think Elvis would have really liked doing that song with the movie. And I know he loved doing that. So he ate.
He did. There's like argument that that was his favorite movie because he was riding the horse and he was being the cowboy and he was like serious rolling it out and like he really loved that. But
I think there's a few he would have really enjoyed. Like, I think King Creole is one of the best ones, soundtrack and acting and story and all of that.
Yes. There are some good movies that he made. So, like, I'm sure that he had a couple that he enjoyed. Even if it wasn't, like, the movie that he loved, like,
he
the
just
process
had a fun
of
time.
Making it.
I mean, yeah. Stay Away Joe, you can tell he's having a blast.
Oh, he's having a blast.
Dominic.
He begged for that song not to be released, girl.
He begged. And that's so funny, because it wasn't released in his lifetime, like, not on a soundtrack version. But obviously, after he died, it was. But, like, that's so funny that that's the song. He said, don't you dare. Like, every other song, like... Oh, McDonald was fine. I understand. And that scene in the movie is crazy too, with the girls like stripping and he's like chasing that. It's so weird. It's a romp.
It is a romp. Can I say something? Oh,
sorry.
Go. No, you go.
Just wrapping up about what we were saying about the Native American. Yeah, oh, yeah. Elvis, you could trace him back and to be Native American to argue that that's like okay, but obviously the depictions of Native American is not okay. And I just want to say that, like, the stereotype.
Oh, and Stay Away Joe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not about, like, is it accurate? Is he Native American? It's like, those actors could be Native American, but it's not about that. Like, it's literally so racist. Like, let's just be clear.
Absolutely.
And they darkened his skin to do that. Like, they tanned, not darkened his skin, but he tanned.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's a big difference between that one and then Flaming Star, which is, like, a very much more, like, historically closer, accurately.
Yeah, it's trying harder to be like an historic film, a Western. You know, that makes sense to me, and that's fine. And the guild, obviously at the time, the Native American film people said, like, we honor you, you've honored us, all that type of stuff. Like, I don't know the specific accolade, but like, he received accolades for that film, which is really nice. But obviously Stay Away Joe is just crazy. Like, aside from the just stereotypes happening, but like, I just want to acknowledge that, like, it's something that obviously today is unacceptable, but I think you don't need to completely say, well, that's that, and end the conversation about it. You can have an open mind about it and still think, okay, it's escapism, it's entertaining for the time, it's got comedy, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need to completely say, well, this happened and we're done.
Girl, just don't compare things that were not, like, we always say this, but don't hold past standards up to modern day ones. You just can't do it. Think times were different. And as much as you hate hearing that, girl, it is true. Like, I know that upsets some people, but like, the reality was, the times were different. People saw things differently.
And the, like, thing is that in its day, they were trying to represent a group. You know what I mean?
It's like Change of Habit when they were
autism. I love Change of Habit.
Me too. But, like, girl, did they represent it? Truthfully, absolutely not. No. And, like, was rage reduction
that's crazy.
Smiled upon method of therapy? Absolutely not. It's literally seen as torture. But, like, they were trying. And in the 70s, they didn't freaking know anything about, or 60s, whatever. They didn't know anything about autism, girl. They didn't know how that worked.
Exactly. When you compare it to today, like, I don't think any of them are that, like, you know, PC or gray or whatever you would call them. But actually, you can learn a lot from it and you can still get something out of it, I think. But on a lighter note,
totally.
I love Change of Habit. I love the soundtrack. I think it's one of the ones that Elvis, like you said, believability. And it's a different role for Elvis. And I know they sort of use that in the tagline. Like, it's a Elvis in a different role.
Yeah.
But he's a doctor in it. He's really cool in it. He's jamming out. It's one of the soundtracks. Yeah. Rubbernecking's in the soundtrack. And you can tell he's having so much fun. It's just a jam session. It's a really great one.
He loved Mary Tyler Moore. Like, thank God that they let him end on a high note. Like, that was his last movie. And also, I wanted to say this, too, because somebody, and I don't know, I don't want to, like, name drop the wrong person, but somebody posted, like, these excerpts from a book that was talking about the young girl who played Amanda in Change of Habit. And they were so interesting because I've never heard this story before. But basically, like, during the audition, it was saying that, like, she, like, hid in the corner. Like, she would not try. Yeah. Like, she did not want to be there.
And that's why they picked her.
They picked her because they were like, girl, we don't know if she actually was. This was, like, the actual words from the quote. But, like, somebody was like, we don't know if she actually was autistic, but she seemed autistic, which was like, oop. But, like,
what?
No, they were like, she, like, couldn't really, she couldn't, like, do anything. She didn't, not that autistic people can't do anything. And that's not what I'm trying to say. Disregard what I just said. But, like, they were saying.
We're canceling you.
No, literally. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like,
described her.
Yes, they were like, we don't know if something actually was not right with her because she wouldn't, like, she couldn't memorize things. She wouldn't do anything that we asked. She would kind of just, like, sit there and, like, stare. Like, she wouldn't do anything. And so it was saying that, like, when they had to film the rage reduction scene, she, every single one of her lines in the movie was dubbed. The crying was dubbed. They had to sit there and kick her feet for her because she wouldn't do anything. And Elvis left the room crying because he was like, this is awful. We should not be making her do this. And they basically had to actually perform rage reduction on her to get her to do anything for the scene. And Elvis was like having to hold her as they made her cry. And he was like, this is awful. And he left the room crying. He's like, I hate this.
That is wild to me that, girl, I mean, movies 20 years ago are crazy, let alone like that long ago, you know what I mean?
Well, you think of like Judy Garland and the stuff they made her do, Shirley Temple, like, oh my God.
Yeah, the union, especially for children and animals, like the unions are just not it. Like, even when they were instated, they really weren't instated at a rapid, like, you know, when child labor rule, like, when you think about it, it's fucked.
Girl, when you don't think about it, it's messed up. Like, it's like, awful. It's literally awful.
But she is really memorable, actually, in that film. Like, not to disregard everything we just said, but, like, she plays a great part in it. Like, she is really good. So I hope, I don't know if she's still kicking, but, like, I hope she's proud of it wherever she is, or I hope at the time she was proud of it. It's really hard, actually, to think that, like, she had clearly a traumatic time doing that,
which is like maybe the reason, because I always thought about that too. I was like, you never hear from her, like, she never does anything like interview wise or anything, but maybe it's because like that movie was such a traumatic thing for her.
I'd love to know like what the tears are on that, but like it makes, I don't want to say it makes the movie better or anything, because obviously that could have done without it and would have been fine, but it makes it seem more real, like in that sense. Like Mary Tyler Moore in it is obviously, she opposes it in the movie, like her character opposes it, so I don't know. I don't know how. I don't want to justify it. I don't think it's right. I think it's really weird.
Well, in the movie, like she's saying, like she doesn't think it's like the most effective way. She'd rather try patience and love and all this stuff. But like, I mean, it's kind of is just like mirroring the time that it was made in, where he thought that that was the only option to cure somebody of autism, which is not even.
There's like that behind the scenes thing of like that there was a real doctor who was literally just a quack, like, girl,
yes, you know,
and he was trying to basically create propaganda about this method that he had sort of either came up with or really liked, that no one agreed with and no one thought was right. So I don't know how they let that fly or why it got, like, approved. But it just goes to show how little control actually Elvis had.
Oh my gosh, none. And he literally, I always think back to that, like, interview that he made for On Tour that they literally cut and they wouldn't even include, where he was talking about, like, girl, people think I didn't care about... Yeah, he's like, people think I didn't care about what I was doing or what I made, but I literally cared so much that it made me sick. Like, it made me ill.
Yeah. And, I mean, not to keep talking about change of habit, but I think it's really, like, it's a weird one to end his movie career on, because if you think about it, all of them are sort of, like, cheesy musicals, you know, with no dark themes, no, like... nothing to think about. They're all, like, escapist movies, which, again, like, you can get something from if you like that type of thing, which I definitely have enjoyed Elvis movies to laugh at and, like, you know, listen to the soundtracks of. But Change of Habit has, like, obviously racial issues, feminist issues. There's a rape scene. There's, you know, drug use. There's that autism thing. Like, it's like they just sort of said, let's do the craziest, like, but starring Elvis. It's like,
you think about the time, like, you think about 1969 and, like, you think about the ghetto, you think about
think Elvis would star in something like that. So I think it's a really cool thing that his career ended with that, right at the last, like, okay, this is the, I don't know who obviously picked this movie for Elvis, because obviously they were all, like, hand-picked and written and stuff. But it feels like it shouldn't star Elvis. I'm really glad it did, because I'm glad he at least got to do something with an interesting plot, you know what I mean? And an interesting role that is really believable again.
Yeah.
But, like, it feels like not an Elvis movie.
Well, I feel like I know that he wanted to do stuff like that. And I think that the new movie, the 2022 Elvis movie, really kind of showcased that, because even when, like, Martin Luther King Jr. died, and Mahalia Jackson, when they died, like, he was always like, oh, like, they spoke the truth. Like, he was so into his roots, girl, like, the voices of the oppressed people. Like, he was always supportive of that, and always, like, wanting to kind of be a part of the change and be a part of that impact that, you know, was being happening in the world at the moment. And so I feel like he would have jumped at the chance to do something, and Change of Habit was just skimming the surface of it. Like, there could have been,
if Change of Habit was the middle of Elvis's acting career, he could have done so much more. He could have done Star Is Born, he could have done, you know, Grease, West Side Story, you know what I mean? Like, I know those are all out of order, and West Side Story was way earlier, but, like, if you think of the stuff Elvis was offered, and he was offered way more than that. He was considered for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and, like, stuff you would never imagine him to be considered for. And there was actually a whole special about it here. Elaine Page did, like, a radio show about all of Elvis's, like, would-be roles. I'll link it somewhere. I'll find it. But she said stuff that I didn't even know. Like, the Charlie and Chocolate Factory, I was like, what? Like, I could picture it.
Elvis is Willy Wonka, yeah.
Yeah, so cool. Instead of Gene Wilder. But Gene Wilder ate. But, like, I will just say that would be really, really weird that he was thought of.
Yeah. Girl, send me that link. I want to know.
I will. There was another one, like, a really famous Western, and I can't remember for the life of me what it was called, but it's one I've obviously heard of. But they said, oh, he shouldn't do it because the character's too gritty. Like, because the character's, like, a bad person, like, morally, like, you know.
Yes, and that was always the thing, you know, like, messing with the image that Elvis had to uphold. Because if you think about it, like, I hate that, because I mentioned before I act and I go to school for acting, and it's like, I'm typecasted a lot. It's like, oh, Mary wouldn't play that kind of role because she's Mary. But it's like, the point of acting is, like, acting, girl. Like, you could be anyone. But for Elvis, it's like, oh, you got to be careful the way that you're portraying him and on the screen, because, you know, people could get the wrong idea. It's the same thing with, like, dating. Like, it's like, oh, you have to be single because people are going to want to, like, know that you're an option. Like, girl. I mean,
what's weird to me and my mom pointed out a while ago, not recently, but I sort of said, like, oh, Elvis gets married at, like, in most of his movies at the end, like, the main person. And she was like, he gets married? Like, that's so... She, like, couldn't imagine him getting married in a film. And I was like, no, like, he does, like, because my mom doesn't watch, obviously, yeah, religiously.
Yeah.
But she was like, wait, does he have kids in any movies? I'm like, no, but there's always a kid in them. Like, he never has children of his own, but right, there's always, like, a kid sidekick. So it's, like, implied, like, oh, he's father material, he's husband material, but he's not a dad.
Yeah, yes, yes. He's not, like, he's not old.
It's always implied. And he's never married at the beginning or a couple in the beginning.
No.
Right? Like, maybe right, he is in like, the odd one, but I can't think right now
I don't think so, girl. I don't think I'm looking at
He never starts in a committing relationship anyway, or there's, like, a journey to get there, which is, obviously, right, that's because a lot of the plots are, like, rom-coms, right? So it wouldn't make sense. But, like, it's always the end goal. So it's very, like, I mean, you could analyze it all day long, and we sort of have, baby.
Yeah. No, it's a good topic, though.
I love it. What else? What else?
I was going to say, I feel like Girl Happy has a really good soundtrack. It's just fun and, like, beachy.
I love Girl Happy. It's such a beach movie. Like, if you beach movie is its own genre anyway in that era, like the 60s beach movies.
There's a movie called Where the Boys Are that has, yes, Dolores Hart in it and Connie Francis. And it is literally, it is Girl Happy, but, like, a more serious version of Girl Happy. And it, mm-hmm, is so good. Like, Spring Break, but, like, a bunch of stuff goes down. But I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. Is it Girl Happy where he goes to prison and, like, dresses as a woman?
Yes, yes, yes.
They have him, like, dress in drag, which it's not full drag, like, he doesn't wear a dress or anything, but, like, he's a woman.
Well, he's trying to get out of the prison because it's an all girls, like they threw all the girls in there, so if he just, like, one man walking out, they're gonna be like, oh, all of them shacked up with, like, this one guy, so he had to dress as a woman to get out of the prison.
It's so weird. And also, there's, like, a stripper scene or a go-go dancer scene,
yes,
with the
Shelly.
She goes to see the sort of burlesque show,
yeah, and then she later does it to rebel,
yeah, so it's kind of, yeah, interesting, like, the weird themes and, like, tropes of the time, like the movements that were happening,
yeah.
I mean, they're always whack. I hate, oh my god, what's it in, like, I think it's Easy Come Easy Go, when they spin the wheel of, like, all the different,
oh,
girls. It's so
step right up
to me,
to the love machine. It's,
I
literally
hate
that one.
That. I hate that. And I'm not, yeah, even, like, I would never watch an Elvis film from, like, a feminist point of view. I am a feminist, but you can't watch an Elvis film and be a feminist, if that makes sense. So,
yeah,
you have to sort of switch that off, which I can do, but a lot of people could take that to,
well,
heart and be like,
feminism,
well, this movie, but it's like, but it wasn't the era of that type of movie. Like, they weren't trying to do anything different,
girl,
or go against the grain. You,
true,
know what I mean?
No, exactly. And feminism was literally just starting as a concept. So it's like,
yeah,
girl, nobody was out here like, well, is this fair to women? Like, girl,
I feel
nobody,
like,
cared.
Change of habit is one of those that actually could be interpreted. You could interpret that as feminism. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot for women in that movie, and, like, it's questioned, but that's also the point of the movie. Like, the characters are flawed who,
yeah,
showcase the flaws of the ghetto and that, like, uneducatedness and things like that. So I think it actually really works.
Well, honestly, yeah.
So slay. Is there anything where Elvis, like, rides a dolphin? I feel like there is.
Girl, no, but he does sit on a surfboard in Blue Hawaii for no reason. He's just, like, chilling.
The stuff they had Elvis doing is so whack. Like, Clambake. I mean, we were talking about Clambake recently and how it's not actually that bad compared to some of them.
Yeah,
like, Clambake,
the plot is good.
I think the name Clambake just makes it a lightning rod for, like, this is the worst one.
Clambake also just, like, Who Needs Money is the worst freaking song in the whole
thing.
What, but
the guy
but
that
the...
made do the duet is so bad, I can't.
Girl, also, this always floors me every single time I remember it, but Bill Bixby is in that movie, and he was such an iconic actor, and I'm like, why is he in Clambake? Why?
And Angela Lansbury in Blue Hawaii, like, they got really good actors to
Mary Tyler
these...
Moore.
Literally. And, like,
yeah.
It's like, hold on, what? Morticia Adams.
Yes, and King Creole. Also, though,
Carolyn Jones. There we go.
Carolyn Jones, yes. And then I was going to say, Shelley Fabre, like, she was, like, a pretty popular, like, child teen actor. Like, she was in Father Knows Best? Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
She was in, like, a bunch of stuff growing up. She was in Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Like, that was, like, a huge
That's
thing
cool.
with Annette Funicello. But yeah, she was pretty well known too. So it's like mm-hmm. these well known, like Tuesday Weld, honestly, she was well known.
Yeah, and even like, oh my goodness, I've forgotten her name.
Hope Lang.
Hope Lang? Who's she?
She played, so Tuesday Weld, Hope Lang, and Millie Perkins in the Country.
Oh, Millie Perkins, amazing. She played Anne Frank.
Yes, Anne Frank. They were all like really well known actors. Hope Lang was in Peyton Place. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
She was in that one. That was a good one.
I'm hungry. Hello. Like, there's so many amazing actors that were like accompanying Elvis in the movies. I can't deal.
Right. And you can tell, like, he enjoys working with more experienced actors and, like, ones he can play off of more and ones who, like, get it. I feel like that's one of the reasons he loved working on Viva Las Vegas with Anne Margaret, because she challenged him to, like, be an artist. Like, be an acting job is an artistic mm-hmm. job, and she really challenged him with that.
Frankie and Johnny were lovers.
That is so unforgettable. I keep saying this. Unforgettable. Like, honestly, forgettable. I know you like Frankie and Johnny, and like honestly, he looks amazing in it, but the plot is so boring.
I have to sit up. I was lying down. I have to sit up right now.
Okay, no worries.
Frankie and Johnny is not good.
No, girl, the plot's boring. But aesthetically, it's beautiful.
But he looks amazing. The aesthetics, the colors, everything. The way it's set on a boat is so cozy to me, specifically. I don't want to talk about it. But I love, you know, dramatic irony. Things like that that are just hallmarks of, like, a good romp. And I love
honestly,
that.
The soundtrack for that one is really good, too. Like, you Please Don't Stop Loving Me.
You love Petunia's Daughter. Do not talk
Petunia's-
to me.
I love Petunia's Garden. I love Please Don't Stop Loving Me. I love Hard Luck, the hardest kind of luck you find. Like, all those songs are
really
good.
There's also a lot of songs in Frankie and Johnny. There's literally Beginner's mm-hmm. Luck, Chess Day. That is so unnecessary.
So unnecessary, but Beginner's Luck is really good. Beginner's Luck is really good.
The American Songbook, like, when the Saints go marching in, like, why are you doing Down by the Riverside? Like, what?
The Riverside. Because he's on a riverboat, girl. Period. He's also singing, what's the one? Oh, Look Out Broadway, We're Coming Fast.
Yes. Everybody Come Aboard. Obviously, Frankie and Johnny, Hard Luck. Look Out Broadway, Please Don't Stop Loving Me. Petunia's the Garden's Daughter. Shout It Out and What Every Woman Lives For.
What every woman lives for is to give her love to a man.
Not true, but okay, Slay. I
know. That. Every time I hear that, I'm like,
ooh. Yikes. But me too, Elvis. Honestly.
If it were Elvis, girl, I would be living for that and that reason only, period.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Tickle Me, bye. No one asked.
No. Oh my gosh, I love Tickle Me. I love Tickle Me
so
much. Well,
you didn't think to mention it 1 hour and 23 minutes in.
No, but I love that you brought it up because Tickle Me is one of those ones that I always bring out during Halloween time and also one of the ones to make me laugh. The guy who plays, I think his name is Stuart or like, I don't even know what his name is. I don't know. But he is so funny. He is in Spin Out 2, and he's so funny. And Elvis is, like, he has those little one-liners in Tickle Me that is just, like, too funny to, like, dismiss.
Why
love it.
In the cast, it literally says Jack Mulaney. Maybe that's who you mean?
Yeah, I think so. And there's, like, I think there's an interview of him talking about Elvis and, like, how Elvis gave him a car because he used to, like, walk to work every day, and then Elvis, like, gave him a car to drive.
I will say, that's a really interesting soundtrack, though, is Tickle Me, because they used his young voice.
Oh, yeah. They used, I think, Potluck Elvis along with, like, another album from, like, 1960, like, two.
What's the cover? The cover's, like, pink and yellow, and it's, like,
Something for Everybody?
I think it's Something for Everybody.
They used that one in Potluck.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's so weird to watch Elvis in, like, 1965.
Yes.
And he's... out of his mouth is 1957 Elvis. It's like...
It's literally, like, such an easy question. Like, girl, those
also,
kind of songs.
Dirty, Dirty Feeling. Love that song.
It honestly does have a pretty good soundtrack. Also, they do not fit into the plot at all.
No, and but honestly, Put the Blame on Me is a banger. You do, 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 do. Like, yes. I could picture that being in the Elvis 2022 movie, like, and it would work. Like, they did that revamped, that would eat. Like, that's such an underrated one that no one, it doesn't fit in the plot at all because they literally have to do a flat.
That's what? So funny, though. That's one of the scenes I'm talking about because he's like, leave the bottle, but it's like milk. It's so funny. Yes. It's funny. So
there's also Knight Rider, which is a good song.
Knight Rider. Can I also say, while we're talking about Tickle Me, another movie that I recently just fell in love with because I used to be a hater for this whole movie. I used to hate it so bad. But for the Halloween spooky season, girl, you need to be watching Double Trouble. It is one of the, like, unironically funny Elvis movies that there is. Like, it's so, so funny, and not like in a way that it's supposed to be, but he's like, I just sat on the tea service, or when he's like behind the two people as they're like chilling on the boat and he goes Jill and like scares everybody.
Oh my god, so it's in that one,
so funny.
I remember watching this with my nan, which is such a random thing because my nan was not an Elvis fan and we watched this in her living room because she used to record them for me and be like, we got an Elvis movie tonight because I used to stay at her house. Mm-hmm. And we'd watch this and make the most fun of it. So I do have a happy memory associated with it because, like, that's something me and my nan would do. And that and It Happened at the World's Fair, we would just make fun of.
That's such a comfort movie for me. But, like, during Double Trouble, like, it's so funny. And, like, so he, like, sings Old MacDonald, but then also he fully kills a man. I'm like, what? Why?
Yes, like, it's literally, like, a stalker film, a murder mystery, a thriller, a comedy, a romantic. It's also it's the weird, so funny. The girl is, like, lying about her age. It's so weird.
And but then they get married on the dawn of her 18th birthday. It's like, what?
So gross. And then the Titanic fucking explodes behind his head. We should watch tonight after this podcast right now.
I would literally love to. It's so, so, so funny. I literally it just watched funny. It like three times the other day.
One of the jokes me and my nan would make, like, the first song, the opening song, is obviously Double Trouble.
Yeah.
Is it called Double Trouble or Baby If You'll Give Me All Your Love? That's a different one. I think it's Double Trouble. And Double Trouble, it has to be because it's Double Trouble. There's a obviously camera angle, and he spreads his legs open in the camera's face. Stop. And says twice as much as anybody else. Oh yeah. And me and my nan, dirty minded queens, would look at each other like twice as much as, excuse me,
as
twice
who, as much, girl?
Twice as much of what?
No, with literally your crotch
in my face. Like, what is this?
Also, one more thing. I feel like just another little Elvis movie tidbit is, like, some of the title sequences are so fun. Like, Girl Happy and Double Trouble, they have both, like, those two title sequences are so, and, like, Loving You with the Little Heart. I love some of the, like, title moments.
That's a good shout. I agree.
Yeah.
The branding behind some of the films is really good. Like you said, like the fonts and the title sequences and things like that, like, are really cute.
And Live a Little, Love a Little. Like, I would call that a title sequence when he's driving around the car.
That's my background on my laptop. Is when I log in, it says starring Elvis Presley or Elvis Presley in, and then when I log in, it's Live a Little. That's so cute. I will say one of my friend's favorite Elvis songs is from Double Trouble.
Wait, can I guess? Wait.
Can you guess?
Wait, stop. Is it Slow?
No.
Is it Long Legged Girl?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I got on the first try. Tell her that.
Long Legged Girl with
the short dress on. She's fine. Just too bad she's a travel guy. Yes. So fine.
But it also, again, makes no sense to the plot because he's not singing about her. He's trying to get away from her.
He's just like singing for a gig.
Isn't it weird that she's stalking him, like, in that movie? Like, she's literally like, I'm going to go to Bruges or Brussels or wherever they go.
The weirdest freaking place names, too. Also, like, and then she's stuck with him because she's literally going to get murdered by her uncle. Like, her uncle's out to kill her for the inheritance. And then they also push a guy down a well and fully kill him as he's trying to kill her in a mask. It's so freaking scary. I remember that part, like, the whole, like, fair part used to, I love only one girl.
I love that song.
It's a good song, but that part used to scare me. It's when he takes off the jacket before he slaps that guy into the well. Like, I'm like, oh, like, he just looks so good.
God, it's so weird. Also, the description for Double Trouble in this book is sending me. So here we go. Mad adventures in Beatles country. Elvis is pursued across the continent by sexy girls in miniskirts, the bumbling Weir brothers, smugglers, and angry Uncle Gerald.
Ow! Uncle Gerald.
What kind of description is that? Also, pursued across the continent by sexy girls in miniskirts. Since when?
He literally is, but not in the movie. Like, why are like, you
that's just
that?
Elvis. Also, Beatles country. So they're in England? Neither yeah. think so.
It was so funny, like, literally in the beginning of it, this one guy, like, knocks on his door and then just punches his lights out, and he, like,
oh, yeah, and he goes, wrong door.
He goes, oh, sorry, I got the wrong door, and then just leaves, and Elvis is dead on the floor. I'm like, oh, my God.
I forgot that the woman in that was British.
Yeah, and she's in on the plot, too. Like, she tries to drug, she does drug the girl. She drugs her.
No, the main girl is British.
Oh, Guy! Yeah, she's British, but the girl who, like,
is Guy.
Shut the frick. No, but the girl who, like, the girl that he meets at the club that he's trying to get with, but the younger girl keeps getting in the way, like, she's part of, like, Uncle Gerald's plan or whatever, and, like, drugs Jill, and, like, this whole, it's so funny.
I have not watched it for years, but I remember being so confused, because he walks into the uncle's house at the start, because he doesn't know she's, like, 17.
And
walks in, and sees her, but then instantly knows she's not the age she was saying, and then leaves, like, the way he reacts. But I'm like, how does he know?
Because she's wearing a school uniform, like a primary school uniform, like a high school uniform, and she's, and he's like, what? And then she starts crying. She's like, I was gonna tell you, I'll be 18 on Tuesday. And then he's like, well, call me then. And then he, like, literally leaves, and she gets so upset.
Well, call me then. That's so funny. Why would she get upset? Just wait, baby. Like, just hang on.
And then she follows him, like, out of the country against her, like, uncle's wishes. It's so crazy.
She's so whack. I do need to rewatch.
It's so good.
It's not, though.
Like, let's it's be not, real. And that's what makes it good. It's like a Stay Away Joe moment it's where it's so bad. It's
if
good.
If they marketed it as a spoof.
Yeah, maybe they, like, tried to, and we all just missed it.
I think Harum Scarum is marketed as a spoof.
I hope it is, girl, because otherwise...
As, like, a... like an Aladdin kind of, like, pantomime-esque plot line. I don't know, but I love it. I don't.
Period.
I think we've mentioned most of them. Not really Spin Out or Speedway, just because they both suck and aren't worth mentioning, in my opinion, but if you want to say anything.
Speedway, I hate it. I have always hated it. Nancy Sinatra, don't like her. Sorry. But also...
She's going to listen to this. I'm kidding.
She definitely won't. But also, not as a person. I just don't like her singing style. Anyway, but I think Spin Out is one of those ones that makes me laugh, and I like the plot. Mm-hmm. And also, it has the one girl who played Gidget, and Gidget Goes to Hawaii and is in that.
Oh,
and Stanley from Tickle Me is also in Spin Out, and he's so funny. Okay. He's so funny. So,
all right. So we'll make allowances for that one. I'm just going down the list basically now. We've mentioned a lot of them. Roustabout, I think, is underrated, honestly. I think it's a cute movie.
Me too. I've always liked Roustabout. I think the plot.
He's really hot in that one.
He's really hot. The plot makes a lot of sense. It is, like, low key, like, I mean, it's Bad Boy Rebel, but it, like, the acting isn't terrible.
Mm. And I like the comedy in it. Like, when he's always getting slapped about. He's always, like, saying crazy shit. I like the fair. I like it.
I love Kathy at the end. I'm in love with Kathy.
Oh, yeah. I like when he goes into her caravan and she's making coffee. Like, I can't remember what he says, but I, like, can picture it transpiring, and it's so sexy. Like,
girl.
When he kisses her and she's like, what was that for? And he goes, what it was for.
Girl, literally, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's the fact that she's like, I can't do this, Charlie. And then he's like, why? Because it was good.
Yeah.
What?
He dares to seduce her. It's so good.
Literally. And then she goes, because I'm not a girl who does a one night stand. Also, every single time, this is so off topic, every time I look at this recording, it's 444. And I can't do it anymore.
Oh, really?
Every time, it's either 4-4 or 4-4-4. I just need you to know.
Okay, pop off. We haven't really talked about It Happened at the World's Fair, which I think is really cute.
I think that that's one of my favorite soundtracks.
Really? Let's go through the soundtrack then. So we have
okay.
This is in no particular order. I actually don't know if it is in order, but A World of Our Own.
Not my fave.
When we're in a world of our own.
Cute, but not one of my faves.
Beyond the Bend, that's kind of cute, but
irrelevant. A cute one. Yeah,
again,
cute one.
Is he flying a plane or isn't he? He's always got some weird mode of transport he's obsessed with. I gotta get my boat because my dad built it. I've gotta save my plane. I've gotta, like, what are you doing with all these fucking vehicles? Hello?
But also, I feel like the plot of that one is also just very good as well. Like, it makes sense.
It is
the bare minimum. I'm like, I can understand it.
I'm watching a 1960s rom-com. I'm like, is it too hard to understand?
Literally. But it is a good plot. And the guy who plays his buddy in that movie is a really good actor.
Yeah, he's a freak.
oh, period.
sorry.
Ew. Okay. It's like so rude, and for what?
I don't.
Yeah, he's stupid. Like, all right.
I just said it and didn't think about it, and now I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, calm down.
Like, he's a freak in the sheets. Like, okay.
He's a very freaky girl. Like, what? Okay.
The candy don't pick up to my. Okay, we gotta go.
Literally, okay. Cotton Candyland, which obviously they revamped for Stevie Nicks in the new movie. And I love it. I love Elvis singing it. I wish it was Stevie Nicks beat Elvis.
Yeah, that'd be lit. That would be lit.
But someone could probably do that if you're intelligent enough. Like, put her in. But Snowman. That's how she's
so good.
It.
And I love
remember,
how.
Oh. Do you remember when we would be like, this is a tidbit. So we would be FaceTiming, and in the middle of the FaceTime, I would say like a line from that song, but I can't remember. Nah, Ingang. But what was it?
I do not remember what you're saying.
Oh, please. Because in that version, they say Snowman instead of Sandman, obviously, with the Colonel connections. And
yeah,
I just
so
need
good.
To do it. Hold on. Snowman's coming. Yeah, we can cut this out, but I just need to...
No, leave it in.
Yeah, he's coming. He'll take you by the... I got it.
He'll say one, two...
It's so funny the way she sings it. And I love Stevie Nicks. Edge of 17... Yeah. Sorry.
Girl.
He'll say
one, two, three. And you
will be. Got me. It's just that little sound bite in my head. So funny.
So funny. But I do really love how they made it like really like spooky, eerie, kind of like with the Colonel reference. Like, yeah. Ooh,
and
so good.
I remember when they announced Stevie Nicks was going to be on the soundtrack, when they did that big like featuring, and it was the biggest list ever. I was like, okay, Eminem, Doja Cat, Stevie Nicks, Jack White, many people, you know, Shanka, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Shanka? Is that her name?
Shanka was the one who passed away, but the other one.
And Yola.
Yola. Yola.
Stunning, but they were both in the soundtrack, and they both did a killer job.
Period.
Happy ending in It Happened at the World's Fair.
I love happy ending. I love happy ending. One boy meets girl, and then like so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Period. Mm-hmm. I love relax. I love
relax. Oh my god, cute.
Oh, One Broken Heart for Sale. I love that song.
Oh, that bangs. That always gets stuck in my head. And so does Happy Ending, because I used to listen to it on walking to school, which is so random. But I used to listen to it on YouTube so I could hear the woman.
We love her. I watched when I had COVID. I had COVID coming back from Elvis Week 2021. And I was sick as a dog, but I was literally in bed for like a week and a half. And I played that movie on repeat for a week and a half straight. So now it's just turned into like my comfort movie, and I love it.
Yeah, I love the woman in it. I think she's really good in it. Her name is written here. It's Joan O'Brien. And then Vicky Two is the little girl. I think that's how you say her name.
She's so sweet.
She is so good in it. And
yes.
It's so hard to find child actors, even now, let alone like back in the day. And she's so cute in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the part. I love when she's heating up her little thermometer in the radiator and she's like, takes him. I love that she is trying. She like plays Cupid for him and the nurse. Like,
yeah.
I love that he overfeeds her. Like, that character just doesn't know not. Like, they eat the popcorn. That montage is so sweet when he's like buying her
Mr.
lunch.
Mr. Mike.
Mr. Mike. And then she obviously gets her really sick, and then instantly afterwards she's like, I'm hungry. Like, it's so I love cute. It.
Oh, that's my doggy. Like, so cute.
Oh my god, yes, the big dog. The big red dog, which appears also in another movie, and I can't think which one. Sarah Jo.
Yes, it's in What's Her Face's bedroom, I feel like.
Yes, it's in the girls.
Girl, I, like, you know, I'm into movie memorabilia so hard, but unfortunately not a lot of it exists anymore. But I would love to know where that is. Like, where's that huge red dog? Yeah.
Or just, like, even a little, like, replica of it. Like, obviously, I feel like, EPE doesn't capitalize enough on, like, obscure Elvis references, just because I feel like they themselves don't even know them. But that's shade.
Can you make merch? Can you listen to me? Dog. Merch design, the dog, and then under it says Mr. Mike.
Yeah.
Can you? Because I would buy it right now.
Yeah. I wanted to do a cutout of the dog, so I might do two.
Okay, period. Or just the dog, yeah. But I feel like a shirt that says Mr. Mike on it. Like, oh, I love designs that only, like, Elvis fans would understand. Like, that one that Matthew made, taking care of Elvis on Instagram. That one that he made, that it's the guitar, and then it says, oops, I broke the whole thing. Nobody would understand that but us, and I love it.
It's so true. I remember seeing it and instantly obviously knowing that that's the scene in Elvis on Tour on the plane where they give him that fucking thing and say, well, you've never played guitar, and he's like, no.
Girl, like, you've never played guitar, right? He literally has been playing it since 1922. Like, girl,
he's literally like, I started out on the guitar, but thanks so much. Like, it's so embarrassing.
He's being so nice to that guy, and he's like, okay, he's so, like, what do you want me to do for you? Like, girl,
he's kind of taking the mic though. He's like chewing gum, laughing. Like, I love him so much.
Elvis chewing gum, like the bare minimum. Elvis breathing, yeah.
Elvis when he palpitates, like, what?
Girl, I need to go to bed. 1 minute, 1 hour and 42 minutes.
This episode is 1 minute long. Like, stop.
Too long.
Okay, do you want to quickly mention, though, Kid Galahad, Follow That Dream, Wall of the Country?
Shut your mouth, because you know that you saved the best for last. Wild in the Country and Kid Galahad are my two favorite Elvis movies ever. Also, King Creole. I would say top five.
Oh.
I would say top five because I need to pick, like, a top five. So I would say Wild in the Country, Kid Galahad, King Creole, Change of Habit. And I feel like that fifth gets, like, jumped around. But right now it is Double Trouble. It is.
That's so funny. I'd say mine in no particular order because, again, like, it's always changing. I know my top three would 100% without a doubt in my mind.
Oh, Loving You too. I love that one.
Loving You.
Yeah.
Live a Little, Love a Little.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna say it.
What? And I'm gonna say it. Crickets.
And I'm gonna say it. Popular opinion, King Creole.
True. King Creole is on everybody's top whatever list. Like, it just is.
It's just good, and I probably watched it the most. Also, I'm gonna bang in Viva Las Vegas. I love Viva Las Vegas. I think it's really good. And let's do a shout out to, oh my goodness, let me recite this list right now.
Charo.
Okay. No, I do like Charo, but it wouldn't be in my top five. Okay, Jahos. Love Me Tender. I like Love Me Tender, but it wouldn't be in my top five.
Jahos, no.
No. Maybe, like you said, like Wild in the Country is really good.
Wild in the Country, I always love Wild in the Country because, like, it deviates from, is that the right word? I don't know.
Yeah.
It deviates from the program that he's put into, like, the cycle of roles, because at the end, he literally puts himself first and doesn't get with a girl. And I love that. Like, he goes to college. Like, he's going to learn. At the end of it, he doesn't go and, like, get married or start, like, a relationship. And I love, like, the therapy aspect of it. Like, he's going to therapy trying to, like, better himself. So good. I love it. And it's a great role for him. Good. Like, he plays it so well.
Yeah. And Change of Habit also is a really good one. So, yeah. That's what I would
pick. I loved this episode so bad. I love talking about the movies.
Me too. And you could, I mean, this could be a two-part, but we'll just do it in a bulk because, you know.
Yeah.
You guys know how to pause it and then come back when you feel like it. I don't need to do two parts.
True. I don't need to work that hard for you, but honestly, period.
I hope the audio was better. I hope it was okay. We did do a lot of overlapped speech.
Okay, guys, until we meet again.
May God bless you.
Adios! Dun, 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 dun. Girl, I can't stop.